Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Today's message begins a verse-by-verse study of the book of Acts, which describes the birth of the church, and it also contains a historical account of its day-in, day-out operation. Moreover, the book of Acts tells us how the Lord spread the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the then-known world, using ordinary people like you and me, after giving them the Holy Spirit's power. Please open your Bible to Acts chapter 1 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his study of this historical New Testament book.
Acts chapter 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of course that's the Gospel of Luke, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up or ascended up into heaven. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion or his suffering by many infallible, unmistakable proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And of course, we know that that would be 10 days. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power or authority, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The book of Acts, you know, is the record of the birth of the church and the subsequent spreading of the gospel. And how did the Lord spread the gospel? He worked in and through people like you and me. The Preach the Word commentary makes this comment. In the Gospels, the Son of Man offered his life. In Acts, the Son of God offered his power. In the Gospels, we see the original seeds of Christianity. In Acts, we see the continual growth of the church. The Gospels tell us of Christ crucified and risen. Acts speaks of Christ ascended and exalted. The Gospels model the Christian life as lived by the perfect man. Acts models it as lived out by imperfect men. It's been said that when the Holy Spirit comes upon an individual, the most unlikely people become fountains of boldness and power. And you and I are here, physically anyways, I don't know where you are mentally. January 8th, 2023. Why are we here? What's this all about? And the book of Acts clearly lays out for us why we have been redeemed, what the purpose is for the believer, what the primary purpose is for the church. Now, I don't want to sound nitpicky, but it's going to sound nitpicky, with your permission. It's not meant to sound nitpicky, but I think that we need to be very careful when we share the gospel with people, that we don't simply tell them that if they come to Jesus, their life will change. Now, that's true, okay? So don't walk out of here. Because there's a lot of things that can change a person's life. If you've lost a loved one, that changes your life. If you've experienced an unexpected physical infirmity, that would change your life. If you inherited a massive amount of money and property that you've never had before, that would change your life. If you've had a promotion or a loss of employment in your field of vocation, that would change your life. If you've ever worked for a company and they've assigned you a relocation in another part of the country or the world that you really weren't looking forward to going to, that would change your life. So there's a lot of things that could change your life, right? Maybe for the temporary, some to some degree for a long haul. A lot of things can change your life. But there is only one thing in God's universe that can make a fallen human being a brand new creature and give you eternal life. And that one thing that we are exhorted to contend for is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And no matter what your vocation is, that is the singular occupation of every single person who is in the body of Christ. We're here to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. There's a dear old saint who doesn't watch online, she's one of the few people that I really like because she's less technology savvy than I am, which is pretty bad. But she sends a little note from her devotionals, and she's in her 90s, love her. And she writes, not knowing where we were going this week, "We are not Christ's lawyers." No, knock on lawyers here. "We are his witnesses." Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible, unmistakable proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." The book of Acts, of course, was written by Dr. Luke. And the former treatise referred to is the gospel that bears his name. We know from the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verse 14, that he was a doctor. He is called there by Paul, the beloved physician. And many Bible scholars and historians further believe that since the slaves of wealthy men usually held the position of a physician, Luke was more than likely a slave. Theophilus is the unknown recipient of this letter. His name means loved by God or lover of God. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 3, he is called most excellent. So he's writing to Theophilus with a form of respect for him, a title of respect. Luke writes the story of the early church that covers possibly up to about 40 years. And you'll notice that there's no amen at the end of the book of Acts. You know why? God still does miraculous works in and through his people. The book of Acts is continuing. It's not being recorded, but the book of Acts continues today in your life and in my life. You notice as you read this book that there's no mention of the fall of Jerusalem. There's no mention of Nero's persecution of the Christians that began about 64 AD. There is mention of persecution, but not the persecution that came from the government, the persecution that came from the form of religious systems, Pharisaical, Sadduceical, that were attacking the church of the firstborn, Jesus Christ. And so we believe that the book probably is written before 65 AD. Luke is telling here, the former treatise I've written is what Jesus began both to do and to teach. The word "began" implies that the risen Lord is still continuing to do and teach his people. Now that he's ascended in heaven, he's doing it in and through the person of the Holy Spirit. And so Acts is a sequel to the life of Christ in the Gospels, not just the Gospel of Luke, but all of the Gospels. And it tells how the apostles and the early church leaders and the early church people followed the commandment to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and they did it. They did it powerfully. They did it impactingly. They did it without internet. They did it without cable TV. Can you imagine impacting the then known world with the gospel? They did it. You can do it. I can do it. We can do it. Those may be helpful tools, but you know the most impactful way of spreading the gospel is you and me being living epistles, walking in the Spirit of God and listening to Him, going where He tells us to go, saying what He tells us to say, and doing what He anoints us to do. That's the most effective witness. When Jesus ascended in Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verses 18 through 20, He says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." I like that, all power given to Him. All power, all authority given to Him in heaven and earth. So He says, now go with the knowledge of that, that all power belongs to me. Go ye therefore and teach. That word can mean catechize. It can mean disciple. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So He tells them to go. What does go mean? Does it mean think about going? It means, and as you are going, where you are going, you go and preach the gospel with words and with your life. At the end of Mark's gospel, He said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So who is the gospel for? Every nation, every creature. Now, after Jesus rose again from the dead, He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible or unmistakable proofs. He was seen of them for 40 days. Luke is the only writer who tells us of the 40-day period of time. In fact, it was Luke's record of when the risen Jesus met two followers in some kind of a altered physical form on the road to Emmaus when, remember, they're talking to Jesus. Jesus joins those two men, and He says to them, "Why are you guys so sad?" And they say to Jesus, "What, are you a stranger around here? Don't you know what's going on? Doesn't it sound like your prayer life and my prayer life? Lord, are you a stranger around here? Don't you know what's going on?" Of course He knows what's going on. And Jesus said to them, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning Himself. Infallible proofs. There are seven specific post-resurrection appearances of Jesus recorded in the scripture. If my memory serves me, correct me, not counting when He appeared to John on the island of Patmos. At one time, He appeared to 500 brethren at once. So for 40 days, He appeared to them. But He wanted in those 40 days to teach them something that you and I need to learn. Let me explain. Remember in John chapter 20, Jesus appeared to the apostles, but Thomas was not with them. And they said to Thomas, "We've seen the Lord." And Thomas said, "Except I shall see in His hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into His side, I will not believe." So 8 days later, Jesus appears in the very same room and Thomas is there. And who does He single out? Thomas. He didn't say, "Hey, knucklehead." He didn't say, "Hey, numbskull." He says, "Thomas, put your hand in my side and touch my wounds." And that's when He made the declaration, "My Lord and my God." But therein is something that you and I need to understand. Listen, when Jesus appeared, okay, when Jesus appeared the second time, He told Thomas everything that He said when Thomas couldn't see Him. He heard every word. I believe that one of the reasons for appearances such as this were that you and I would learn as born-again, Spirit-filled believers, we need to learn to cultivate, listen carefully, the presence of the Lord in our lives. Jesus said, "I will be with you always," right? We need to cultivate the awareness of the actuality and the reality of the presence of the Lord in our lives. Just think how radical that would be if we conscientiously and intentionally believe that. Now, I don't want to start any family storms this morning, but if my wife and I cultivated, and we tried to cultivate an awareness of the presence of the Lord being right there, we're going to talk to one another a lot different than if we think he doesn't hear or doesn't know what's going on. I'm certainly not going to say, now, Lizzie, really? How could you do so? Or she's not going to say to me, really? How could you do something so stupid? Just think, young people, of how you would talk to your parents if Jesus was right there. You would probably call them, oh, most excellent mother. Most excellent father. What about that boss? Oh. Who? You think that God has selected him to make life miserable for you, or that neighbor. How would you talk to them? How would we talk to one another? How should we talk to one another? With a reality that Christ is right here in our midst. You see, because one of the commandments that the Lord gave to the apostles in the upper room, in addition to going into all the world and preach the gospel, which is the primo, he said, as far as you are concerned, my commandment to you is that you love one another as I have loved you. How did Jesus love you? If you woke up this morning and you looked in the mirror and go, whoo, no wonder he loves me. Yeah. No, that was not the reason why he loved me. That was not the reason why he loved you. I've got to wrap my arms around this. When I'm driving, when I'm on vacation, when I'm at the grocery store, wherever it is I am, wherever it is you are, cultivating the awareness of the presence of God, being in tune with him, listening to him, how he would use you, how he would speak to you. That's exciting. It really is exciting, isn't it? Am I talking to anybody besides myself here or what? Of course it's exciting. Yes. Listening to him. Remember when the Lord told Abraham to take Isaac up to the mountain and slay him? Remember? Right? When he went up to the mountain, Abraham lifted up the knife, and the Lord said, don't slay him. I wonder how many Isaacs have been killed because we haven't been listening to the Lord. Okay. He spoke to them of the kingdom of God. On planet Earth, there are two kingdoms. There's the kingdoms of this world, and there's the kingdom of God. The two can never be combined. They're opposites. As opposite as day and night, light and darkness. And you and I are citizens of the kingdom of God. We are actually transplants from heaven on earth to represent Jesus Christ. That's our calling. And so they are all together and being assembled, verse 4, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Of course, we know that they were to wait then, and it would be 10 days later when the Spirit of God would be poured out upon them. Okay? Now, the church today doesn't need to have a tarrying service, waiting for the Lord to pour out his Spirit. The Spirit's been poured out. Now, waiting on him for guidance or for direction, that's biblical. We all need to wait on him. But this event known as Pentecost happened once, not to be repeated, but what happened on Pentecost is to be repeated today. The event has been fulfilled, but the event is going on in your life and in my life. Jesus says, John truly baptized with water, in water. You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John the Baptist, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but there's one that cometh after me, mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. When John writes in his gospel, chapter 1 of Jesus, we read in verse 29, behold, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Is that true? The one who taketh away the sin of the world is also the one who baptizes with the Holy Ghost. When you study the scriptures, you see that there is a threefold operation of the Spirit of God in people's lives. Before you and I are Christians, the Spirit of God works para alongside of us. And each and every one of us have different ways that we come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He uses different situations and different people. He comes alongside of us. People are witnessing to us. People are praying for us. And then that's para, alongside of. And then there is that time of conversion where he comes in you, where he comes in me. At that moment, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. We are eternally secure, and we are baptized into the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus says here, you will be filled with power, actually the ability to do, after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You will be filled with power to be my witnesses. And so we need this hippie empowerment of God to be effective witnesses. So the Spirit works alongside of you, he comes in you, and then he comes upon you. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, says in chapter 5, verse 18, but be ye being filled with the Spirit. And then he gives us an example, singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, being filled. So God's desire for every one of us is that we be filled, filled to overflowing with his Spirit. Now, how many of you know, I know, that I need to be filled every single moment of every single day? I need his filling. And when you go through the book of Acts, you'll read phrases like filled with the Spirit, the Spirit fell upon them, the Spirit was poured out upon them. And when you examine all of the statements of faith within the body of Christ, from A being Anglican to Z being zealots, whatever, all in between, somehow we looked at the same book of Acts and we come up with all of these different views on what is happening. These are my brothers in Christ. This is the family of God. This much I think we can all agree with. Whatever you want to call it, filling, unction, baptism, this or that, nothing would have happened in the book of Acts if the Holy Spirit didn't do fill the blank, that work in them and through them. Call it what you want. In fact, if the Holy Spirit stopped working in the early church, 95% of what they did would stop. If the Holy Spirit stopped working in today's church, 95% of the things we do, we keep on going. We need to know what it means to be filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, baptized by the Spirit. Bless the Lord, oh my
soul, bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning. Due to the holiday, there will be no service on Wednesday night. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.